want to read something God gave me yesterday. I was over here at church, and I don't know, I was thinking about school starting back with our kids, and I just got a pen and paper and began to write, and this is what God gave me. Just started writing. Sometimes I get inspired to do that, just start writing, and this is what I have, and it's my message this morning as well. It's called I'm Never Absent. I'm always there on time and prepared for duty. I have a perfect record. I've done my homework. I've turned in all my assignments. I always pay attention and know all the answers to any question. I always bring my A game. I'm the first in line to take part in all you do. I keep to my schedule, and I'm always where I'm supposed to be. I am faithful and committed in every season of your life. I am with you from the time the bell rings at your birth till the time it rings when it's time to go home. I am constantly involved in all your activities. I'm aware of your every move. I know your every thought and fear, as well as your desire and goals. I am with you day and night, every second, every minute, every hour. I am with you when you awake, and I'm with you when you sleep. I'm the one voice that always speaks truth, the one friend who will never forsake you, and the one light that never will blow out. I will always put you first, love you more, and keep you always. I will be your strength when you are weak, your hope when you are lost, your peace when you are afraid, and your joy when your hope when you're lost, your peace when you're afraid. I'm the master of creation, the author of salvation. I'm the very presence you feel when all seems lost. I am the spring, the wink in your eye, the spring in your step, the joy in your heart, and the peace in your mind. I am the one who always will be. I will not leave your side. I am the one who will show up, show out, and show off. I am your God, and I'm never absent. Never absent. I got thinking about that, how the kids strive for that perfect record in school of attendance record, not being absent any days, and how that God is never absent any season of our lives, that he's watching us, that he's with us, he's observing what's going on. In those dark times that we think he's not around, he's there. He's very present in our lives. And if we could be more aware of that presence, it would give us strength and hope during that storm to stay the course and realize, God, you are with me right now. We don't like bad seasons, but sometimes those bad seasons is what bursts the season that we need to go into, if we'll just understand God's in that season as well. God doesn't ever leave us alone. God never forsakes us. I believe what the Word of God says, he's always with us. God's not absent in anything you're going through, any battle you're in right now. God's not absent in your loneliness. God's not absent in your fear. God's not absent in your frustration. God's not absent in your loss. God's not absent. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're doing. His plan's not changed because a storm has came up. His plan for you's not been altered because a battle is raging. He is never absent in your life. In those times you feel that you don't feel him anymore, he's still there. Just seek his face and call his name and watch if he doesn't respond and say, yes, I hear you. Yes, I'm still here. I've not left you. I'm just kind of quiet right now, letting you process some things, but I'm here when you need me. I'm here, and I'm watching you, and you're not going anywhere I don't see. You're not going through any valley I don't know about. You're not going any path that I've not already prepared for you to go down. I'm there, and I'm with you every step of the way. I knew this day was going to come, is what God is saying. I knew this season would be birthed. I knew this storm would pass your way, but yet I'm there. Yet I'm in you. Yet I'm around you. Yet I surround you because I'm never absent. Understand, I'm present always in your life. From the time you were born through all of your journey to the end of your days, I'm with you. From that teenage boy you were that was rebellious to that older person you are now that is seasoned, I was there. My eyes were upon you. My ears were attentive, and I never forsook you. I knew your days, and I numbered your days, and I knew where you would be at the right time and the right moment, and I laid this path before you and just said, trust me, and just walk it, because every path's not easy. Every journey's not right, it seems in our eyes, but I'm with you in that moment. I'm right beside you, watching, protecting, hearing, loving, and comforting your life. I'm never absent. I've never missed an assignment. I've never been off schedule. My timing has never been wrong. Trust me, I am who I said I am, and I always will be. I'm never absent in your life. When you think I've forsaken you, I'm still there. When you say, God, where are you? I say, I'm here, because I'm never absent. I'm with you in every moment of your life. Every moment you're asleep, every moment you're awake. when you close your eyes at night, I encamp myself around the house and keep the door secure that no harm comes your way. When your child goes forth out of your control and you have no more personal hand upon them, my hand stays with them and my hand protects them and my hand watches them. It is in the moments that we don't see God the most we must recognize, yes, I know you're still present. You don't just take off and come back, but you remain steady. You stay right where you're at. And everywhere I go, you go. You're my shadow, God, and I can't escape that shadow. I can't outrun that shadow. I can't outsin that shadow. I cannot rebel that shadow, because your shadow remains upon me, because you're never absent from my life. You're a present God, always and forevermore. That's the God we serve. That's the God that He is. He's never absent out of your life. So you may feel that He's checked out. You may feel you're in an empty classroom and nobody is there to watch you. But I'm telling you, somebody is in charge and somebody's behind that desk. And they are God Almighty still in your life, watching you, protecting you, keeping you, teaching you, loving you, comforting you, and strengthening you through every storm of your life. Because God is not absent. Understand that He is an ever-present God in your time of trouble. And I thank God, because without that presence of God, that awareness of it, we would all go insane. We would all lose our mind. We would all be off our rocker if we didn't have that grounding of God's presence reminding us, yes, I'm with you. No matter what you've been through, if you've been through divorce, you've been through death, you've been through bankruptcy, you've been through a child in jail, whatever you have been through, God is never absent. He is present in your circumstance to remind you, I'm still here. Husbands may leave and wives may leave and kids may leave, but the one person that will never leave you is God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you always. When all hell breaks loose, God says, here I am. When everything looks wrong, God says, here I am. When everything begins to fall apart, God says, here I am. They may have left, but I'm here. You're going through this, but I'm still here. It's all broke loose, but I'm still here. Trust me, for I am God Almighty and I change not. I was there yesterday, I'm here today, and I'll be there tomorrow. I was in your past, I'm in your present, and I'm in your future, because I am God, and I'm never absent. I breathe you into existence. I keep you through your journey, and I'll take you all the way to the end, because I'm never absent out of your life. There's not been a waking moment, a breathing moment, when the doctor hit you on the back to make you cry. I was there. When you were sick, I was there. When your parents divorced, I was there. When they died, I was there, because I'm never absent. I'm in the funeral home. I'm in the hospital. I'm in the prison. I'm everywhere, because I'm never absent out of your life. Glory to God. That should give us some comfort. God's not absent ever out of our lives. Praise the Lord. As I was preparing this message, and I just heard God speaking that so clearly yesterday to me, that I'm not absent. We have a generation of people trying to pretend He is absent, that He doesn't exist, that we can live our lives without Him. But we can't even breathe the air we breathe without acknowledging He's not absent. We can't look at that sun and deny God's not absent. I was talking to someone other night at the hospital, Blue actually. I went to see my friend Blue, whose mom has been transferred to hospice. And we were talking the other night, and I said, you know, it's harder for people to prove there's not a God than there is to prove there is a God. Think about this. It's harder to prove there's not a God. Tell me when you look at creation. Tell me when you look at the night sky and the canvas of day and the sunsets and the sun rises and the mountains and the seas and the oceans and the trees and everything we see. Tell me there is not a God. Tell me that you can't see that there's not a present God that is in everything that we see, everything that we breathe, everything that we do, that there's a God that's present in our lives. We have a child and we hold that child in our hands, and how can we say that there's not a ever-presentness of God when we hold that child in our arms? God gave this life. God did this. God birthed this. God spoke this. God formed this. Because He's never absent in our lives. No matter where we go, no matter what we face, God, on your job, God is there. In your frustration, God is there. God is there with your dad. God is there. He's not absent from Danny. He's right in that living room, in that recliner, in him, sitting with him, reminding him, I'm here, son. I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. And I'll see you all the way to the very end till you receive your reward. God is never absent out of our lives. And I thank God for that, because we've been through heartbreak. We've been through a spouse maybe dying, or a bitter divorce, or a rebellious child that doesn't talk to you anymore, and they whatever. We've been through that heartbreak of that loneliness, of I miss that relationship, but not with God. God's not going to run away on you, and God's not going to divorce you, and God's not going to die on you, because God lives forevermore. He reigns, He's King, He's Lord, and He is an ever-present relationship in our lives anytime we need Him. 2 a.m. or 2 p.m, we call His name. He says, yes, I'm on duty, and I'm ready to serve. What do you need me to do today? Because our seasons change, and our circumstances change every single day, and God knows the heartache that we've been through. And yet He remains faithful. And yet He remains present in our lives. Glory. Let's read some scripture. Look at Deuteronomy 31:6. This is God talking to Moses. You know, he's about to embark on this great journey. And he's reminding Moses these words. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, the enemy. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. I want you to picture this. Here's Moses getting ready to go on this, you know, this Exodus journey. And God tells him, don't be afraid of him. Don't worry about him. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you. What comfort that must have been to him. What comfort that should be to us. That you're not going to leave me. You know, for a child, a little child, the presence of their mama is the most important presence of their life. If mama's there, everything's cool. I want to be a mama. I don't want to leave mom. I want to be my mama. If I can see mommy, everything's okay. You drop Maverick off in a room of strangers, he's looking for his mama. Where's mama? Okay, this is cool for a little bit, but mama, where are you at? I want mama. That's the most familiar relationship to him right now in his life, his mama. That's the most comforting. And Dee says, I'm here, Maverick. Oh, okay. He goes back and starts playing. I'm here. I'm watching you. I'm in the room. God's in our room. God is watching us. We can live our life and walk our journey understanding God is with us. That God's not took his eye off us. There's not a moment we should ever wonder as a Christian, what if God's not looking right now? What if he loses sight of me? What if I get lost somewhere? What if I get over here and he forgets that I'm his, or he's too busy helping, you know, Von Seal and forgets about me? Don't have to worry about that, because he's never absent. He follows us everywhere we go. He's got us. Just like a mama has her child, he's got us, and he's not letting us go. Go to the next scripture. This is in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, we love the thoughts of going to heaven, most of us as Christians. We don't want to go maybe right today. Maybe some of you do, but I'm not quite ready to go yet. I got to get me Pablo's one more time. I want to not quite go yet. But we look forward to that, don't we? The kingdom of God, going to the pearly gates, going to see Jesus. And that's a good thought. But that's in the future for us. Even if it's tomorrow, it's in the future for you. We need a present help today. We need God's present help to face tomorrow at work, to face our kid, raising our kid another day, face our financial struggles tomorrow. Whatever we're facing, we need a present help. And that's what God is. He says, I'm a present help. I'm not some distant God or faraway God or future God or past God. I'm a present God. Right now in your life, I'm present. What you need, I got. Whatever it is in your life you're battling, I'm present. I'm present for you, Chuck, to help you with your father. I'm present with you, Von Seal, to help you in your situation. I'm present with you, Joe, to help you with your health. I'm present with, you know, with you, Gail, to help you with your loneliness, whatever. I'm there to help you. I'm a present help, and I give you what you need today. It's a great thing about God. He gives us what we need today. That's why Jesus told us to pray that way. Lord, give us this daily bread. Give us what we need today. Every day we should be praying, God, give me and equip me and help me with what I need today. I don't know what I'm going to face, but you do. One phone call can change everything. One phone call can change our whole world and spin it in a cycle we don't want to go. And so we need present help to face what's coming our way, because we don't know what's coming our way. But God does. And God gives us that strength to face it because he's present right now. Next scripture, Jeremy. Isaiah 41:10. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this. What's happening, God was going, the people of Israel were going to be taken captive. They were going to be captive and exiled because of their sin. But God gives them a reminder here. Even though you're going to be exiled, even though you're going to be captive, listen to what I'm saying. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed or discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God upholds us. God, picture this. God holding you above the storm. God holding you above the tragedy. God holding you above all things you've encountered. God's holding you above that, protecting you and keeping you from the waves of life destroying that. He's holding you up by his hand. He says, I'm going to help you. They're going to be taken captive. They're going to be exiled. They're going to be in captivity. Trust me, I'm still present. I'm not even absent in your captivity. I'm not absent when you've been exiled. I'm not absent in any of your life situations. I'm never absent. I'm still there. So don't worry. Your deliverance will come at some point, and I've got a plan for you. There's hope for you. Trust me. I'm your present help, even in your captivity. Even in our captivity of life, God's our present help, and he's not absent in that moment. Even in our dreams or our nightmares. I had a terrible dream last night. I won't share it with the church, but I ain't told Mel. It was awful. Ugh. But I remember waking up, and I was like, it was so real, and I woke up, and it was just terrible. And to know that God's presence is still there in that moment you wake up to remind you, hey, it's okay. I'm with you. That didn't happen. I'm here. What a comfort it is to have that present help of God to strengthen us and help us today. You know, people use the expression one day at a time. We try to plan our future. And Mel, I tell you, I'm a planner. I'm planning way out. And Mel is totally the opposite. I mean, she don't plan by lunchtime. I'm planning 30 years from now. that's how I am. And sometimes it gets me in trouble because my plans go so far out. I'm seeing ourselves with canes and gray hair and our kids all wrinkled up. And I mean, I'm way in the future. I'm like, I need to pull back a little bit and enjoy the present a little bit more. Because we can worry so much about the future, we can't enjoy our present. And I'm bad about that. I got to gear back down. I would love to be one of these people, man. I would love it. I mean, you know, I would love to be one of the people that were in the 60s, right? Hey, man, no cares. No worries, dude. One day at a time, brah. One day at a time. that drives me crazy. I'm like, man, get your hind end out of one day at a time. Make some plans. I just can't be that way. I try to go with the flow. Yeah, tomorrow's Monday. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'll just let the day come to me, man. I'll experience the moment. I'll embrace it as it comes. But I just can't do that. I just can't. I mean, I got planned what I'm going to do for lunch tomorrow. I'm planned. And I guess it's in trouble. If I could realize, God, just trust you every day, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. My lunch plans may change. I need to leave that window open just in case. And not write it in pen. Write it in pencil in case I need to erase it. Okay, not me, Pablo's, Logan's. I got you, God. Okay, I'll change that plan. If we could just trust God that, you know, in our daily walk, he'll provide for us. How much stress that would take away to quit worrying so much about what could happen and just trust God in every day of what he's doing now. And live in that present moment. Enjoy every day, because you can't get the days back you lose. After the service is over this morning, we'll never get this Sunday morning back. It's over. It's gone. This will be the last Sunday morning service like this we'll ever have again. It'll be a different service next time. So enjoy the moment. Enjoy the day. Go to the next verse. This is my last scripture. Matthew 28:20. This is Jesus speaking, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now he tells his disciples what to do. The verse before talks about baptizing all of them in his name and making disciples of all nations, all that. And he's saying, lo, I am with you, talking to the disciples, always. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. End of the age. That word age is not, it's talking more than just the disciples to the end of their actual natural life. He's talking about the end of the age. End of all life. I mean, end of the kingdom comes. I'm with you until the end of this age ends, and you're part of my kingdom. I'm with you always. I'm not going to leave you. What comfort that must have been if they understood at the time, disciples hearing Jesus say that. Go teach all nations, baptizing them, and making disciples, and by the way, I'm going to be with you always, and I'm not going to leave you. That's a promise. Not going to leave us. Not going to forsake us, but he's with us always to the very end of the age. He's never absent from your life. You may feel that way sometimes. We may not understand why storms come and why things happen. I can't explain that. Good things or bad things happen to good people, all that scenario, I understand that. I don't understand. I understand why some Christians who serve God and love God and live right have so many problems and storms, and people that live wicked and evil and full of sin and doing all this stuff seem to have all the blessings. It seems that way sometimes, don't it? The ones that don't serve God seem to be the ones that seem to have the blessings. It makes no sense. But we've got to look a little bit, as I said, into the future on that part and realize what our reward is and what God has waiting on us and what God has waiting on them. Because we know where sin leads to death. But Jesus leads to life and life everlasting. So I know this. I'm going to be with my God all of my days on this earth, through all of my battles, through all of my storms. You know, I've lost many people in my life that I love. I've been at many grave sites. It's always hard to say goodbye to the ones we love. But in those moments, God is still with me. His presence is there to help and to strengthen. Melanie was talking yesterday about her grandma. She got on her mind a little bit last few days. But how good that she has done with that, and she really has, because Melanie's grandmother was very special to her and very, very close to her. And she said, God has really helped me through the last few years with that. I mean, I know God has strengthened me. Because she'd always talked about she would fall apart when her grandma passed away. She didn't know what she would do. And she fell apart for a little bit. But we got some glue, and super glue, and put her back together piece by piece and helped her a little bit. And she got her, you know, she might walk a little crooked now, but she's pieced back together pretty good. God helped her. God strengthened her. God is ever present. And I don't think we can really understand that presence of God until we're in that dark place and we see his light. See, you don't know you need to be found until you first know you're lost. You don't know you can't see until there's no lights. 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe not that late, let's say 11 o'clock at night. You're still up in the house watching the news. You're eating some popcorn. Kids are still running around the house. All of a sudden, the lights, power goes out. First thing you hear is probably some screams from your kids. And they start trying to run and find you. All of a sudden, you realize how much you needed that light. You didn't realize how dark your house was till you didn't have any light. When everything goes out. I mean, when the power goes out and it's nighttime, it goes pitch black. Even if you're in bed at night at 2 o'clock in the morning and the lights are off and the power goes out, it still gets darker because everything goes out. It's just like, phew. You don't realize how dark it is until you see the darkness and you don't appreciate the light. I don't think we can appreciate God's presence until we're in that dark place and we see him pull us out of it. God, you pulled me out of that. I took you for granted, kind of like your husband and wife. Time you take your partner for granted. You know, you've been with them 20, 30 years, and yeah, they never ain't going to leave me now. I done broke up, you know, whatever. And you take them for granted sometimes. Sometimes we take God for granted because things are good. Life's good. Things are cool. I'm not sick. I've got a job. I'm making payments on time. Life's pretty good right now. But it's when we hit a down spiral. It's when we hit rock bottom. It's when something drastically changes in our lives that we begin to turn to God a different way and we see him in a different way. God, you are my deliverer. You are my redeemer. You are my comforter and my counselor. You are the one that pulled me out of the miry clay and set me back on solid rock. I didn't see it before, who you really was, but I see it clearly now, who you are. Because I look back at the storms of my life, and I realize in those places I hated it. But God, if I hadn't went through them, I wouldn't have seen your hand of providence in my life. I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have seen your hand of redemption. I wouldn't have seen your hand of healing if I hadn't have been there. And you know, Melanie's grandma, years before she died, had cancer at one point, and God healed her of that. She had cancer everywhere. She didn't die of cancer. God healed her of that cancer. She'd lived another, how long was that? At least 10 years after that, or 15? So 15 years or more, she'd lived after that, after cancer got healed. When you're sick and God heals you, don't you seem a little bit different? When the bills are piled up and there's no way to pay it, and then God sends you somebody and writes you a check and says, God told me to give this to you, don't you see God in a different way? When there's a bus wreck and maybe every child is hurt but yours, or maybe a child even got killed and yours didn't, you're like, God, I see you in a different way. You protected my child when others maybe were harmed. We see God differently when he pulls us out of something. We realize how present of a help he really is and how he's never really absent out of our lives. God's not absent. Don't think for one day he doesn't show up for class every single day, because he does. You wake up with him and go to bed with him. He's with you. I think about my grandmother a lot, and I know I don't come around like I should, Granny, and I'm just a busy man raising a family, trying to do my thing. But I think about you and how lonely under the house still is after 60 years of marriage, and how going to bed at night still is probably hard when the house is dark and everything is quiet and the daughters quit calling and everything's just still, how your mind rolls and the memories of what was. But see, God is not absent. And you know that. He's in that home with you. He's in that bedroom with you. He's in that kitchen with you. You're in that den, wherever you're at. You can feel his presence in that home. He's not left you. Because Grandpa left, he didn't leave. I bet you do. He has. He's that present help. Well, we need that, don't we? We don't have, here's the good news. We don't have to go to a certain place to find God or hear God. We don't have to climb the highest mountain or go to the loneliest cave to hear God. We just call his name where we're at, and he shows up. I mean, I've felt God in my car before, as I know many of you have, or just in a moment, just how God just comes on you in a special way. You just feel him. It's a beautiful thing, because he's never absent. Anytime you call on God, guarantee you'll hear this. Here. Now you take attendance in class. Brown, here. Patterson, here. You know, you're a kid, you might say something stupid to the teacher. You know, you did roll call. They don't do that anymore, I don't guess. Yeah, they got computer scanners now, or pupil retina readers. You walk in the class, yeah, they're here. I don't know, whatever. But they used to call roll, you know, call you by name. So every time we call God, here. Okay, just making sure, because I'm really, you know, I'm at this casket right now, and I'm grieving over my loved one. I just want to make, I'm here. Don't you feel me? I'm here. You know, or we got a child or someone we love is just, you know, breaking our, I'm here. When you're doing your bills and you see no way out, God, you see my checkbook? I'm here. Yeah, but I need you there. Can you get there? He's always with us. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Doc, make your way up here. Doc is going to bless us in closing here with his song, I'm Happy With You, Lord. Are you happy with me? Now, I told him to change the words. They were doing this at offering time. I told him to change. That song goes, Are you happy with me, Lord? I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. Are you happy with me? So I told him to change the words and say, I'll give to you, Lord. I'll give to you, Lord. I'll give to you, Lord, because you give so much to me. But I might confuse you.
Praise the Lord, anyway.
Listen, I want to say something.
Am I on?
Huh?
Am I on?
You're on. Yeah, you're always on. Yeah, give it a little more volume, Jeremy, that mic. I do want to say this, and everybody's not here today, so you'll probably hear it two or three times, because I just have to do it two or three times to get everybody covered. We need your help. We had a really, really bad Sunday last week. I mean, really, really, really bad Sunday financially. It was so bad. It was so bad that I went to the No, I'm just playing. It's, I just like, I don't want to offend nobody. It was just, it was really low. We had almost 100 people here last Sunday morning, counting kids and everybody, you know, about 100 people. And we only had 11 people that gave anything with their name to it in the church, as far as it documented. And those 11 gave 85% of the offering last Sunday, which means the other 80-some people in total gave about $100-some. It was just really bad. And I want the church to understand, I'm telling you, y'all can turn on any TV preacher and that's all you'll hear about is money. Any of them. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. But I do want you to understand how important that it is the local church gets support, because we need the finance to continue to come in. You know, I still want to grow the church. I still want to have more space, and it just can't happen if everybody's not supporting it. For the ones that give every week, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those that aren't supporting the church for whatever reason, we need your help. So I just want you to know it was really, really, really low last week. And I know we can have a million excuses. I had to buy my kids' clothes, and I understand that. But, you know, the church needs support as well. So just want to make that clear. If God has blessed you, you should bless him, and I know he has. Giving of our offering to God is scriptural. It is in the Bible. Even the New Testament, for you people that don't want New Testament scripture, I'll give you one. Paul went around the first day of the week collecting offerings of the saints who had came to one location to present their offering for him to pick up for the work of the church. We've always been good with our money here. We've always been very careful with our money. As you know, we pay this church off in 7 years, so we're debt-free that way. We have right now about $37,000 in our building fund built up for our future expansion. But we have a lot of people in the church, for whatever reason, are just not giving, and I don't understand that. You're here. You're here regular. You seem to enjoy it. You laugh and I tell jokes. You shake my hand at the back door. You tell me good preaching. You know how you really tell me it's good preaching? Cha-ching. Now, I know people don't like talking about this, but that's okay because, you know, most of us will spend more at lunch today than we put in the offering plate on Sunday morning. And we need to, the work of God's got to go forward. And I don't talk about it much. Every once in a while when it's low, I'll say, hey, I need your help. But we want to keep it going so we can continue to grow the ministry. So if you're not giving, I just need to ask you, I said, why am I not supporting my church? You just saw your teachers up here teaching your kids every week, and they're learning about God. That's a price that can't be numbered. Your children learn about it. And these teachers are volunteers, not getting paid, and they're dealing with your kids, my kids, every week. And they love doing it. So we just need your support. So as Doc sings this song, when you get the part, I hope you're happy with me.
You sure you want me to sing first? They might take the money back.
I want you to give them the evil eye. Are you happy with me, Lord? As they're bringing their offering up. No, I was playing with you.
Is this auto auction Sunday?
Do what?
Is this auto auction Sunday?
Auto auction Sunday? Oh, yeah, I do. There's three or four here from the auto auction. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Got an 02 Honda Accord coming through. Can I get a 35? That'd be pretty good.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Doss will sing his song. Let's stand up, pray over our offering today. And I do want to say this, too. And I don't want to keep drilling it, but I just want to say your offering to God should never be based on whether you're in church or not. It's based on what God has given you. So if you miss a couple of weeks, that don't mean that the church don't need your support those couple of weeks. So what's the right thing to do, Pastor? I'm glad you asked, Von Seal. The right thing to do is when you miss church, when you come back, you make that up. You got paid that week. You went to Logan's that week. You put gas to your car that week. You went to Panther game getting ready to come up that week. This is my Panther money. I can't give that up. This is my cigarette money. I can't give that up. This is my little bit of gambling money. I can't give it. This is my lottery ticket money. Can't give that up, preacher. This is my kids' lunch money. Can't give that up. Why got your kids' lunch money? I'm playing. Can't give that up. So I just want to say, and I'm a testament. I'm telling you, I'm a testament. Nobody can believe this. You can believe it or not. But when I went to, which I don't miss any here, except if I'm on vacation, and I do give when I'm on vacation too. I give when I get back, I give before I go. My vacation, I still give. But back when I went to my home church, I used to work a lot of Sundays because I was, you know, in retail, food line, you know, and Walmart stuff. And there'd be times I'd miss Sundays. There'd be times I had to work 2-3 Sundays in a row back in retail days. And I would always make my money up. Because when I paid my bills, I would write my check for my tithes and put it back. And then when I went back, there'd be times I put 2-3 checks in the plate because I'd write my check out in my bills, save it till I went back to church, and then gave it because God still blessed me with my check. So honor the church. You being here doesn't mean, or my, you know what else? It don't matter how good or bad I preach. It don't matter about the offering. People judge that. I know they do. I know they do. If I preach about sin and hell, the offering's always down. When I say how much God loves you, it's always up. So I understand it measures that way. But it should never be based on how I preach or how good Doc or bad Doc sings. As y'all walking up, don't turn back if he don't sound good. Y'all bring it on up and still put in the plate. You're giving to God. And you know what? This church is your church. So this is the way you give to God. Living Waters is the name of the church. But it's the way we give our finance unto the Lord. It's through the local body. So I just want to ask your help for that. And I'll probably do a spill again next week because a lot of church ain't here today. So don't get mad if you're